Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
In Afghanistan, we've taken 20 years to lose to goat herds with fertilizer. And they're not even waiting until we leave to loot Bagram Air Base for basketballs and boomboxes. And the world's most lavishly funded and entirely useless general staff thinks we need more diversity seminars.
So that's Mark Stein filling in last night on Fox. He's really good and a good writer, but he is making his argument was we spend too much time in our military worried about political correctness now. You remember the thing. What was the thing last week that General Milley was on? Oh, critical race theory.
Right. But, and whether recommending reading that was a good idea or not.
See, I'm leaning toward getting out of Afghanistan and have been for about 15 years. So I'll be interested to see what our next guest has to say. We always go to Mike Lyons, but we want to know this stuff. But this is from The Onion. Somebody sent this. This is from The Onion in 2011. 10 years ago. This is on the 10-year anniversary of being in Afghanistan. The Onion headline was, and remember, The Onion is a joke newspaper.
Parody.
The Onion headline was, U.S. quietly slips out of Afghanistan in dead of night. And there are some reports that that's what we did just a couple nights ago, leaving the Air Force base and not telling anybody, and just, we're out.
Well, let's talk to military analyst Mike Lyons, who's served with various military organizations in both the United States and Europe throughout his career. He is a student of history, military history in particular, and we always enjoy his perspective. Mike, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. So great to be back with you.
We have no problem with being corrected on any of our beliefs, assumptions, or things we know about what's going on anywhere in the world. What is currently happening in Afghanistan? Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, first of all, I do agree we should have been out maybe 5 years ago. I think Donald Trump should have made it a priority of his administration when he first got elected and just basically gave everybody the Heisman and said, this is what we're doing. The military-industrial complex, though, wasn't finished testing equipment, wasn't finished. You know, the Army still didn't have a mission, couldn't figure out, you know, how they were going to make that happen. I do think it's the right thing. It's going to be back to the future, though. We're going to go back to 1999 and 2001 very quickly. The Civil War will start. The Taliban now controls something like 80% of the land districts in the country already, without even just giving up the airbase. Yeah, and so, and you know, the military's gone, the contractors are still being gone. You're going to see, unfortunately, we can't vet any of these interpreters. That plan is going to go out the window. So there's going to be a lot of people that trusted us that are going to end up losing their lives when the Taliban takes over here. But again, it probably should have happened years ago. To your point.
Wow. Hey, can we take a look at that specific subject, the vetting of the interpreters? You don't think it's going to actually happen, and you don't think their necks are going to be saved?
No. We talk a good game about it. It's all words. It's just not going to happen. It just can't logistically happen. The amount of people that's involved with, and people are going to slip through the cracks. So there's going to be reports of that in the future. The question is whether or not the Taliban is going to go after those folks. And I think U.S. Embassy might be safe. I don't think you're going to see a complete Saigon situation where we're going to, you know, escape from helicopter roofs there, and whether or not they want to go after them. But it's going to happen. And the number we're talking about is just too big of a logistical challenge. There's more people in that group than there are soldiers that are there to try to get out of there in the next 2 months. So, and their families. So it's just not going to happen. And it's an unfortunate thing that we should have planned for a long time ago.
God, I would say so. So how do we go into another country and get people to help us if we leave these interpreters behind to be killed, maybe along with their families?
Yeah, I think we're out of countries that we're going to go into and have that situation. If we haven't learned from this one, again, I just don't know what else to say here. We saw, you know, this is Vietnam in some ways over and over, except we didn't have 150 body bags coming back every week. We just don't seem to learn our mistakes here from these kinds of interactions. I really don't see us doing it, I think, in the next few years, regardless of administration. Now, the question is how... You know, what is China do? Is China become more bellicose in the South China Sea? We saw the comments by their leader the other day. I mean, they're talking about, you know, smashing heads and things like that. So, the military is going to have to kind of regroup here and kind of figure out what's the Army's mission going forward. First of all, we know the Navy's going to project power. I just think the days, as Dick Cheney, I think, said about 15 years ago, the days of us occupying countries with the intent of trying to deliver democracy and capitalism are just over.
Well, good. Before we move on to China and geopolitics in general, one more thought on Afghanistan. I was a little surprised that you know, at some point, Biden or Trump or somebody didn't say, look, it's not a war anymore. It's a strategically important part of the globe. So we're going to have a big old base there. So we're ready to move when we need to. Why not a statement that straightforward? Or do you think the geopolitical need isn't that strong?
I think two reasons. First of all, our messaging has been awful when it's come to Afghanistan. And you know, we were out September 11th. Looks like we're going to be out here in 2 weeks for all practical purposes. The commander there, Scotty Miller, is someone that knew the mission from the beginning, didn't realize, knew it didn't have a timetable. So I think that was the first thing. But I think the second reason is because we've just built this over-the-horizon standoff military now where we don't feel that we need logistical bases in places like this. I think we're going to be proven wrong. I think that that would have been a great idea to keep this air base and keep these kind of lily pads that exist either in the ocean or in certain land masses, because we'd have no friends now in that part of the world. We don't have anything in Pakistan. We're not doing anything, obviously, in India and the like. And Diego Garcia is a long ways away, and we still have B-52s there. I think again, you know, we've built this over the horizon military with drones, and we're taking the human element out of it. And I think that's how we say we're going to defend. I think it's going to prove to be foolhardy when it comes to strategic things that are going to take place in the future, when we're going to need to put people on the ground.
Boy, that's troubling. But in general, is this pivot that Barack Obama talked about and kind of started, and then Trump kind of continued? It's amazing how slow it is. So you think this is the right thing to do? Let's stop talking about these sand countries. We produce our own oil now, and let's look at the real threat to the future, like the next 100 years, China. So that general pivot of our attention, you think, is a good idea?
It is. It's overdue. And I think, you know, given this century, the question is this another American century, or does it become the century of the Chinese? And some of those countries and how, what's Russia's role in that? You look at the South China Sea, our Navy's going to continue to project power. For some reason, we're now screwing around in the Black Sea with Russia trying to, you know, bring up Ukraine too. That's another issue that's come up on this week and here. But really, the focus, I think, everybody I talked to in the Pentagon, I talked to a good friend of mine the other day, he's actually back at the Armed Services Committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee, back on the desk, and he's back at the China desk. And I'm just glad he's there, because he's a smart guy, and he says that's exactly where our focus has got to be, at least for the next 4 years. Build up enough military presence there that projects enough power that the Chinese don't want to do anything that will upset the trade balance and upset what will be the world economy, and that's what's at risk right now.
Military analyst Mike Lyons on the line. Mike, I realize you could probably write a 700-page book about this question, the answer to the question, but compare and contrast China and the U.S. in terms of military hardware and also in terms of trainingness, actual battle experience, adaptability. How do the two forces compare?
Well, so the last two wars, the U.S. came prepared, I thought, both Desert Storm and then in Afghanistan and the run-up in Iraq. And what I mean by that is we didn't have what was called the Task Force Smith, and that took place in Korea during the Korean War when the military was just unprepared after the Second World War. So the military has learned its lesson about preparedness and being ready to go right away out of the gate. What's the question is, how much hardware now do we have comparative to the Chinese? The Chinese still don't really have this great navy. They have one aircraft carrier there. They project power in some ways, but they have a much larger land force. They have much more mass, let's say, and much more equipment. And I just don't see us facing off in that realm anyway. But I do think the days of the U.S. military being not prepared are over, and in some ways, that's always going to be a good thing. And as long as we fight ferociously and fight the way that we're trained to do, I think we'll be okay once, should something arise, either in Eastern Europe, let's say, with the Russians, or either somewhere in China, in the South China Sea.
Interesting stuff, Mike. Come away from these conversations wishing we could talk all day, but maybe we'll invite you on for a podcast for a more extended conversation soon.
Love to, guys. Whatever it takes. I think there's a lot going on in the world right now, for sure.
Yeah, I'd say.
Talking about.
Amen to that. Mike Lyons, thanks so much for the time. Really interesting.
America's so-called longest war is going to be just a blip in the history books, if ever talked about at all. 20 years there, all that money. Luckily, not too many lives, but, you know, if it's a loved one of yours, it's a very huge deal. But, and you know, outside of the first couple of years where we broke up the guys that attacked New York, What? It's just amazing the momentum of these projects. And Mike, what he said there at the very beginning, the military industrial complex wanted to test some more equipment.
Right, right. You know, the really distressing part of it to me is what we've brought up a couple of times through the years. The messaging to the American people has to be so oversimplified to the point of being stupid that our leaders either can't or feel like they can't level with us and say, look, you know, it stopped being a war a long time ago. Now we're just trying to prop up this government till they're strong enough to stand on their own. It's not looking great. We're going to stick with it for another 6 months. If it doesn't work, we're out. We're going to keep a base there because the region's super important. Pakistan is a bunch of maniacs with nuclear arms, and they're right next door. And if we need to jump from there, it's a good place to jump from. That's not that complicated. But no, it's our longest war. You know, come on. I don't, you know, plenty of you are that stupid. Not you, not our audience, the American people. But you're not. You folks, you're obviously brilliant. But come on, do we have to dumb down our messaging that much?
I have been saying this for years with Democrats and Republicans. I don't think you're going to take the political hit you're worried about. If you get out of Afghanistan, if you say what Joe just said, I don't think your poll numbers are going to crash. I don't think anybody's going to run against you on that. Nobody's paying any attention. They're going to say, okay, that's interesting. What about, you know, homeless or schools or whatever issue they care about? Nobody's talking about Afghanistan.
Yeah, you're probably right in this case. I was going to say somebody will run against you and say, look at him, he's cutting and running. But even that is so tired at this point. You're right. No, I agree with you.
Who right, left, or center would react to that? Cutting and running from Afghanistan.
And if there weren't so much blood and treasure involved, it'd just be hilarious. Just the stupidity, again, of the messaging. But it's not funny, not at all.
We ought to do a podcast with Laura Logan because, you know, she went to Afghanistan all those years. And have her on to talk about the high point when they had the most miles of roads paved and the most schools open and all that stuff. The high point versus where it is now and versus where it's going to be in a year from now.
Right,
all that
right.
Just completely wasted.
Schools. Back when you could drive from the airport to Kabul and walk the streets and greet the locals.
That was a brief period of time that we paid a lot of money for. We, U.S. taxpayers, paid a lot of money for. And just, it's over. It's gone.
Armstrong and Getty.